Episode 6.
That you won't give up. You must keep going. You are too young to listen that that things that this coach told you, and believe in your dream.
You might be smarter. Your daddy might own a company, but you will not outwork me.
This one right here is for the people.
I'm your host, Ryan J. Owens, current pro athlete, entrepreneur, and former USA national team volleyball player. I will not be defined by my athleticism alone, but I've learned how to leverage it to stay passionate about it and prepare for life. That's why the Beyond Athletic podcast was born. I'll bring you case studies of current and former elite athletes making it happen in life, as well as tips and lessons from top sources in sports, nutrition, fitness, entrepreneurship, and more. I'm here to tell you that you are beyond athletic. Hey, listen, today I am so excited. I played with this guy in Brazil. He is a tremendous, tremendous person. Fantastic father, amazing player, great guy. Listen, I could go on and on. If you like the show, leave a review afterwards or during it. BeyondAthletic.com/review. And as I've mentioned before, we've got a fundraiser on Indiegogo. That's igg.me/@BeyondAthletic. Roll on over there. You'll know why I started this. You'll see some of the gear that we're going to make when we get funding. With that funding, we're going to buy better mics, better software, bring someone on to do the audio, make sure everything is just set so all I can do is get out there, interview these great athletes, coaches, specialists, experts, and just bring you guys fantastic content, keep it free, and add value. Enjoy the show. Thanks for listening today on the Beyond Athletic podcast. I'm pretty excited because today we've got on an awesome guest, Carlos Eduardo Schwenke. How are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you. It's my pleasure to be here with you guys, and I hope that I can help something in your life and career and something in your sport.
Awesome. Well, I'm sure you will, because with your experience, people just could learn so much. Just to give a brief little bit about you, and then I'll let you tell people more about your story, the real story. But some of the things we're almost the same height, I think. You're 197, all right? I'm 198. You're like 6'5 and a half. I'm 6'6. You're a big dude. I remember when we first met, we played together in Brazil at online. And I remember when we first met, I was like, that's a big guy. But then again, we had a huge guy on our team, didn't we? Like 7'2? How big was he?
Two guys in our team?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have 2 meters. 2 meters 6, I think, 2 meters 8.
Yeah, which is like this is like 7 foot plus. It's like, I think one of them was 7'3 for Americans and other people using our standard. But anyway, you're born in 74 in Brusque, Santa Catarina, Brazil. I'm not sure if I'll get this right, but one parent is Italian and one is German, right?
Yes, that's it. My father or my father's family came from Germany, and my mother's family comes from Italy. So I 50-50.
It's so rad. I love the mix. And you have done a ton in your career. I know you played in the 96 Olympics in Atlanta, and we talked a lot about that when I was there in Brazil, which was awesome. You got fifth. I know you beat USA 3-0. And that was a pretty awesome American team, too. I mean, we had some pretty old guys on that team, but Lloyd Ball, Svertlik, Ivy, who else? Scott Fortune. Jeff Stork was probably the oldest player, I think, in the tournament. Mike Lambert. Who all was on your Brazilian team?
Well, in that moment, we played with this biggest team in the U.S. that I've ever seen. Lloyd Ball is starting, but also the Svertlik and Scott Fortune and those guys. And then my team, it was Mauricio Lima, this was the setter, and Marcelo Negrão is the opposite. Sandy and Giovanni, the outside hitter, and in the middle blockers, I was playing, and also Paulão and sometimes Max. Yeah. It was a big, it's a good team from us also.
Yeah, that's pretty rad. So you guys, let's see, I think you, it was like quarterfinals, you beat, who was it? Was it Argentina you beat, like 3-1? I think.
In that moment, in Olympic Games?
Yeah.
You mean?
Yeah.
So in the Olympic Games, we start not so good. We lost some games, some match, and during the competition we improve our volleyball. I could play most of the games. It was so important for my career. And in the quarterfinals we lost to Yugoslavia in that moment. Yeah, it was awesome team, man, because they are everybody together, and they were in the. The biggest moment, and physically and technically, it was we lost 3-2. It was hard fight, and that unfortunately for us, we lose that moment.
Yeah, but then you came back and you beat Cuba. You beat the crap out of Cuba in three sets, I think, to take that fifth place. But Serbia went on to get bronze. Who won that? Netherlands that year?
Netherlands, yeah, Netherlands won Italy, I think, 3-2. It was, in that moment, the services was too strong. They became with, both teams are great attackers, and it was an awesome game, man.
Well, I know we got
the best moment in volleyball.
Yeah, I know we got a little off track, but that's just so exciting to know. Someone and be able to speak to somebody who participated in such a huge level of their sport. And I know you also have some World League participation, excuse me. You, like, what, 4 or 5 times you got, like, a couple medals from World League?
I played 5 times World League. I have 2 medals. You know, 1 silver medal and 1 bronze medal. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was awesome in that moment because I was so young and I have this opportunity to play in high level all the time and represent my country. And I could in that time grow up so much in my career, especially mentally, you know, because when you play in high level, so... too much time, you grow up, especially mentally.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Thanks so much for adding a little bit there, because there's just so much that you've done. And I know for people listening, it'd be really interesting to know that you were 22 when you were at the 96 Olympics.
Yeah, I was 22 years old.
Yeah,
wow. Young man.
that's incredible. I also, you beat my, after we played together in, what was it, my first season as an outside hitter, what was that, 2005 at online. I know things didn't work out and with the team, and then you actually stopped that year, but I went to Greece. And because of going to Greece that year, I ended up in 2010 being coached by Freddie Brooks. And I think he was on that 96 team that you killed to take that fifth place.
Yes, I remember Freddie Brooks for sure.
He was a great coach for me. Anyways, so we've talked a little bit about your volleyball career and this, like, this stuff that a lot of people know, but why don't you give everybody the story about who you are, like where, what kind of family you were born into and what led up until you decided to play volleyball?
So let's start. So I grew up in a small city in called Brusque. In my state in Santa Catarina, here in Brazil. And with 12 years old, I started to practice volleyball in my school. I was big and a little bit fat guy. Because of that, I had to start to make some sports. But after that, when I started, I could, yeah, I could increase so much, and I became taller and skinner. It was very good to me, and I started to play very good in my city. So in a few moments, I was representing my state, and after to play the some youth championship here in Brazil, I was a national team. I play for 8 years in national team. I passed through all the situation since my youth to the main team, the principal team, and I could play so much championship, important world championships and world league, Olympic games, and it was awesome because I love what I do, and since I start, I have this crush in volleyball, and every time I want to be in the court to play, to practicing myself better and better to represent myself and also the teams, the national teams that I pass through.
During that time outside of volleyball, did you, when you were a kid, for instance, and you were, let's say, high school level and deciding on like what you're really going to do in life, were you maybe doing an extra job for work or to make some money, or were you just focused on school and sport?
After I started in volleyball, I focused 100% in volleyball. I had sure in my life that I needed to do that, and I never looking for another situation, you know, another job, and I just focus in my practicing and trying to get better every day to, like I said before, to represent myself in my teams and national teams that I played before.
And what was your, before you started playing volleyball, I'm really interested in this beginning stage, because I know everybody has their story about how they come to play something. Yours was you needed to start getting moving, right, and get fit. Mm-hmm. And that's actually a great reason, and really a big reason why I wanted this Beyond Athletic podcast to say that, is that, you know, sports has so many benefits to your life. But tell me, did you have a dream before you started playing volleyball? And how did that dream for your life, where you might be in life, how did that change after volleyball? If it changed.
So every kid in Brazil has a dream to become a football player. So, yeah, that's
I know.
And, because the football here is it's everything, you know, especially when you are a kid and you see your favorite team playing, favorite players doing goals and everything. So I practiced and played football when I was younger than I started to play volleyball. But in that moment, when I was studying my college and my school, my friends and my surround friends play volleyball. Mm-hmm. And in that time, the coach in my school, he was an old volleyball player. So that atmosphere around me and direct me to that sport, you know?
Yeah.
Also, when I start to play volleyball, I start to play basketball because, like I said before, I was too tall and strong. Mm-hmm. But in that moment, my teacher, my coach, came to me and said, you must choose some sport because you are good and you have a chance to become a good player. But yeah. My opinion to you is to choose one and follow that road, you know. And, I try to do that, and I believe him. And 27 years after that, I'm here. Now I'm a head coach for volleyball, head coach, and I have all these stories to tell to you and the guys.
Who again was that person who influenced you to make this decision to follow basically one course, which was
pick? He was my teacher. Yeah, he was my teacher in physical preparation. You know, we have this.
Yeah, in physical education, we have this too.
Yeah. So he came to me and so you are a big guy, you have a chance to become a good player. And I was a good player in basketball and volleyball in that moment. But all my friends in that moment, they are playing volleyball.
Fantastic. So I'd like to talk about that road when you started volleyball until you stopped playing. But first, I'd like to ask you, is there something like a quote or a personal mantra that you have that you believe in?
Yeah, nowadays I follow too much the thinking about the Dalai Lama thinking. You know?
Dalai Lama, yeah.
And Dalai Lama. I am a half Buddhist, you know. I try to follow this mental thing, positive things, and I think in some moments or the main moments of my life, the positive thinking bring me good things. So this I try to follow. Every time I think about the positive things, I try to avoid the negative thoughts, and it helped me.
Yeah.
It helped me a lot. And I have here some kind of things I separate, and I want to read for you guys.
No? Awesome. Shoot.
If your mental attitude is positive, even when threats abound, you won't lose your inner peace. On the other hand, if your mind is negative, marked by fear, suspicion, and feelings of helplessness, even among your best friends, in a pleasant atmosphere and comfortable surroundings, you want to be happy. So,
wow. I like it.
You must try to follow, you know. I try to follow these things, especially in bad situations, bad moments, because in those moments, you need to believe something and try to bring positive things to your life. You know, it's better for you. You can avoid diseases and other things that you can make bad for your life.
Yes, thanks. Thank you so much for sharing. It's definitely a fantastic quote, and we'll put it in the show notes so that when this is online, everybody can see the whole quote and keep it for themselves, because I think that's fantastic, actually. Speaking of these hard times in life and getting through, a lot of people have things like you have their personal beliefs, quotes, things like that. And that's why I like having guests share that. And what I'd like now to do is to talk about a failure in your life in terms of when you maybe were starting in your sport, or maybe when you were advanced in your sport, but you tried to do something and it just did not work and you didn't get the result that you wanted. And you had a choice to either, you know, stop or move forward. Do you have something like that to share?
Yes, I have something to share. I was thinking about that, and I have two moments.
Yeah.
To share, you know, when I started to play volleyball when I was a kid, I went to some city to make some trial to become a good player, or to make trial to become a player from that team. And I was rejected, you know?
Yeah.
They said to me, you are not so good, and you have to come back to your city because our team is high level, and you are not that point. That moment I was disappointed. I think with myself to stop and try to do something else. But the same coach and the same teacher that encouraged me to start and believe in my potential, came to me and he said, "Oh, you won't give up. You must keep going. You are too young to listen that that things that this coach told you, and believe in your dreams." Mm-hmm. So I tried to I was upset in that moment. My will to give up from everything. But after he came to me and said those things, I looked forward and I prepared myself hard, you know, mm-hmm. especially physically, you know, because the players that I saw in those teams, it was so strong physically. And I tried to get better in that situation.
Yeah.
And another moment, it was when I got injured 2 years before Atlanta in 96. Mm-hmm. I was playing in World League, the final World League here in Brazil, in front of more than 20,000 people. And I have to go direct to the hospital because I have a huge injury in my hand. I almost lose my hand in that time.
What?
And all the doctors that I passed through, they said to me, "Oh, you cannot play volleyball anymore because you can have this problem again." And I have some time to recover myself in my hand. I make some surgery, and especially after when I did some spiritual surgery, mm-hmm. All those things come back again. You know, I make all the tests with the real doctor, and he comes to me, "What did you do? Because now it's normal. You can come back to play volleyball again." So, you must believe. You know,
yeah.
You must believe in everything, and especially. You must have faith in your dream.
Yeah. Wow. So just to paint a picture for people, that we've got two things there that you just shared that are actually really big moments where I think some people really would just say, "Okay, I'm going to stop. Like, this isn't for me." Where you didn't say that, you persisted and were resilient against the negativity of others and then the negative thing that happened to you in terms of the injury. And so you have one case of you saying, "Okay, they don't want me. They said I'm not good enough." And then you have this voice and this teacher who I would love to know his name. What's his name? Do you remember?
Yeah, I cannot remember. His name is Gustavo, but the surname I cannot remember.
I would love if you remember, send me it so I can put it in the show notes so we can give Gustavo a huge thank you because you are a fantastic addition to volleyball and really a legend in my mind because I would go back and watch those videos. So I'm so happy that he told you to keep going and that you could. And then you have this section where you have this injury, and what I'm really interested in, because I've been injured before also, but I've never had some serious injury where I had to get surgery. And I'm really interested in the moment you made the decision, "Okay, they said it's not possible. I'm going to try to see what I can do to see if it is possible." How did you make that decision, and where were you, if you remember?
I was in my team, you know, and I was searching for every kind of possibility to come back to play. And I have this partner, and also in my team, he came to me and he told me, "I know some place we can go together, and maybe he can find a way to put you come back in line, you know?"
Yeah.
And I believe him. In that moment, I came with him in that city, and I met this person, the spiritual doctor, mm-hmm. we can say about that. And I did some surgery, but not conventional surgery. It was spiritual, you know?
Yeah.
I could hear everything around me like a real surgery, but he cannot use any tools that the normal doctors use.
Mm-hmm.
And after some time of recovering, I came back to my real doctor, and he said to me, what did you do? So now it's normal. You just can start again.
Yeah.
You know, it was unbelievable.
That's actually a great lesson there. A couple lessons is, first, you have to surround yourself with people that you trust and you believe in, and that trust and believe in you, because mentorship, in this case of your teacher, Gustavo, is really important for helping people get through tough times in life. And then secondly, it's really important that when someone tells you something's not possible, that you do seek an alternative and see, hey, what opinion does someone else have that's a professional, even if it's some alternative type of medicine? In this case, I think you're talking about holistic medicine, maybe, perhaps. And
yeah.
I think that's fantastic that you went that option, and you just, a lot of elite athletes, I see the same thing over and over. They're very open to all alternatives to try to be the best they can be. So thanks for sharing. That's two really great things, and I'm glad you kept playing. So tell me, I'd like to talk a little bit more about mentors and what role they played in your life. So were there any other inspirational people in your life that helped you along the way to become the athlete that you became?
So I met some guy, and he's really famous. Now he's the best coach in Brazil, and he's the coach of the national team. His name is Bernardinho. And he teach me some lessons that I bring with me, and I take for all my life. You know?
Yeah.
Some things that the most important thing, you must have the will to prepare yourself better than your will to win. Because if you prepare yourself better and better and better, winning is the consequence about this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of mentors, I try to read a lot from motivational sports, and some people that they make history in sports.
Yeah.
So those guys can inspire me, and in some lines and some books I can follow, and I can find good things for me and for my life and for my career.
Yeah. So that's definitely great reasons to have mentors in your life. Do you mind naming maybe a few more that you were just talking about?
So I cannot remember now the name, because I tried the, he's the big, one of the biggest coach in America in basketball.
John Wooden.
John Wooden, yeah, thank you a lot, man. This guy, I read so many books about him, but I couldn't remember. I was searching before here.
Yeah.
we started our meeting, and he just disappeared from my head. And this guy is unbelievable, you know?
Yeah.
I read, I think, two or three books from him, and he's one of the best mentors that I can talk about it. You know, his persuasion and his practicing and his thoughts about sports in general is great.
Yeah. So you talked about mentors and what they mean to you and why they mean so much to you, and some lessons that, like, for instance, Bernardinho Rezende, for people who don't know much about volleyball, this is one of the most famous, if not revered as maybe the best coach ever in volleyball, and he's still coaching. He taught you the will to prepare and the will to win, and that preparation led to winning, not the other way around. And So my question to you is, it seems like this preparation just keeps coming up, training and how important training is. And when you were younger, you saw they were stronger, so you said, I got to get stronger. In your opinion, what separates the most elite players from the rest of the pack when you're talking about national team athletes? Is it preparation?
Yeah, it's the preparation, but it's not about physically and technically. You must try to search something outside from sports, especially, I don't know, in religion, in faith, in administration. I try to bring for your life,
yeah.
You know, and we can build some roads to follow, you know, your road.
Yeah.
You know, and if you can surround by good things, positive things, and you prepare yourself better and better than your opposite, you are in front. You know? If you are, because the volleyball and sport nowadays is too competitive, and everybody practice hard, technically, they stood the opposite. But if you can find some point that can inspire you a little bit more, maybe in court, in the decision moment, you can put this in your mind and believe in these things and try to bring the main point for your side.
Yeah. What's a good example of some thought like that, something that you would put into your head in moments that were really tough when you're playing?
Especially, I think you are serving, you know, when you are serving in volleyball or in volleyball. I talk volleyball because it's my sport.
Yes, of course.
It's the only one moment you can solve the problem by yourself. So in that moment, you must have peace and try to clean everything from your head, you know. In this moment, it's some moment inspirational. You bring something from your head and try to do your best for you and for the team.
Yeah. Fantastic. So, listen, I know we're getting a little bit into the really good stuff because I think a lot of these things, a lot of athletes are missing. And you talked a lot about how preparation is in all aspects 360 degrees, so not just physically but mentally, spiritually, psychologically, all these things. And I definitely agree with you, and I love it that you're on the show, because when I met you and training with you and getting to hang out and become friends, I really learned a lot about how you think and how you are, and I saw those things, and you're a very happy person, which leads me to ask, what's the thing that you're most proud of accomplishing in life so far?
Wow. Maybe when I saw my daughter birth.
Yeah, when she was born.
But the biggest moment. Yeah.
She is sweet.
When she came, she's 15 years old, and now she's playing volleyball, practicing harder. But when she came to this world, when I saw her for the first time, I really think about myself that I did it. You know, I did it, and I bring her to this world. And now, you know, in that moment, I feel full.
Yeah, that's amazing. She's such a sweet young girl too. I've had the pleasure of meeting her several times, whether it was like on the beach at your summer house or training or what, also in Switzerland, huh? Wow. But that's fantastic. And how has that changed your life as a father?
It changed a lot, man, because you can see some people depend for everything from you, and the love that came, it's a huge, you know. It's some days nothing, and after some moments you can feel all the love and the reason for everything is there, yeah. You know? And you can see the growth from your daughter or from your children, some steps that they pass through, some failures, and you have to teach. And in some moments, you learn more than you teach. And
that's incredible.
It's really funny, you know?
It's incredible because you never think about that beforehand, that you would be learning something from such young beings. But yeah, I hear this often. It's amazing. I can't wait, man. But congratulations. Yeah. And she's definitely a sweetheart. And like I said, if she ever needs help going to school in America, I'm your guy. So tell me, what was your biggest, over your whole career up until now? Now you've been coaching, like you said, you were assisting, I think, for a couple years and then moved on to head coach, and you won a couple championships during that time, both as an assistant and head coach. But through your coaching and playing life and then personal life, what was your biggest aha moment in life where you just realized kind of like the keys to really being happy?
So I think when I was in Atlanta in 96, and I watched all the ceremonial to open the Olympic Games. Mm-hmm. And I was there. In that moment, I looked for my big partner, Nauber. You know, yeah. He was my friend in that moment. And I looked to him and I say, we did it. You know, we are here. And I saw coming from the big stage, Muhammad Ali.
Wow.
You know,
really?
With the torch. Yeah. And I start to cry, and I, you know, all that moment, all the preparation, all the hard days when you are tired and you have to training. In that moment, all those things, they worth it, you know. I did it, and I'm here. Mm-hmm. So when you pass through that moment, you are new again to start over. So in that moment when I was there, I couldn't see all my practice that I did it before, and I have sure that I will keep going in that road again, you know?
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's incredible. I also have the dream of being an Olympian still to this day. And it's just so, man, that's amazing. I feel like I was there with you experiencing that. And it's amazing that you say that you, all the work you did up until that point, and then it's just like this calm feeling. And then like you start fresh, start new. That's pretty amazing. And listen, actually, you've got to give a personal please congratulations to your very close friend Naubert Bittencourt, right? Is that how you say his last name?
Naubert Bittencourt.
Yes, because he just got inducted into the Hall of Fame for 2014 in America.
Yeah, he was the biggest. Yeah, he was the biggest player that I have to play. And he is an incredible guy, one of the best people I couldn't met in this life, man.
Yeah. Listen, we've talked about so much, and I definitely want to wrap up here. So in getting ready to do that, I just want to, speaking of people who, again, were inspirational in your life, who, in your opinion, do you think athletes aspiring to be great and aspiring not only to be great in sport but great in life, who do you think they could learn those lessons from if I had them on the show?
Wow, it's a big question. I think the best players or the best athletes to try to follow something or to learn something is that so some examples. I like a lot Messi, you know, Lionel Messi, because he's a huge player, but he don't want to to show something.
Yes, he's humble.
Just play. Yeah, he's humble. He just play, you know. And also some I will talk about some legends, you know. But now we have those things with Michael Schumacher. He's a legend from driver moment, and Jordan, and those guys are unbelievable.
Yeah,
Andre Agassi, I read his book maybe three times, and I think this athlete is awesome. Either because he don't like to lose, you know. Mm-hmm. He tried to do anything to win. Mm-hmm. Anything that he can do it, he tried to do it to bring that moment for him.
Yeah, he gives everything.
So he gives everything.
If you were to choose one person, let's say you are the host of this show, and you're like, who am I going to host on this show? The first person I would interview, who would that person be and why?
It will be Michael Schumacher. You know, this guy is unbelievable.
Yeah, he definitely is a legend, and I've seen a lot of his races, so that would be an amazing interview if I could do it. So, listen.
Yeah, if I can.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, if I can meet, if I want to do something with some guy, I will try to do with him, because I never have a chance to be in front of him and to talk about. From how he drives the car and in that speed, and I don't have this that experience in my life. You know, I play volleyball, and if I could meet this guy and take some experience from him, I think it will be awesome.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely someone I'll aim to have on this show, because he is a huge inspiration, and I know he's still trying to heal after this accident while he was skiing. So thanks for sharing. And now I guess I'd like to hear, for everyone out there, they've heard so much from you, but as we wrap up here, I'd love to know any advice or guidance you would give to athletes in general.
In general. So I think the most important thing, you have to have goals in your life. You know, if you have goals in your life and to prepare yourself to that goals, try to plan carefully every step to follow. You know, and try to reach every goal. And after that, you make some auto-analysis about that moment. You know, this is very important. This, I think, it's my advice for everybody.
Yeah. Written goals are definitely something that's fantastic. Especially, I mean, it's great to have goals in your mind, and something that I've learned and I've also done. It seems like we both like to read a lot. I've learned a lot about writing goals down really helps me achieve them, and breaking those goals down into smaller goals that are achievable and that I could do day by day really helps. So that's amazing advice coming from someone of your stature and experience. So thank you. And while we wrap up here, I would like to give a chance for you and people to connect with you somehow. So is there anywhere online that people can follow you or see what you're up to, whether it's like Instagram or Twitter or Facebook fan page or personal website? And secondly, are there any causes or things that you believe in as people that we should do for others to give back?
So it's important we give a little bit from our time to others. I think moments in that kind of in our life nowadays is very very important for us, because it's a rush. Every day is a rush. Everybody has some jobs, have to do something with your family, with their hobbies. But if you can do something for others that they needed more, I think this is very important. No, yeah. Try to help them, try to make something positive to some work, some food, some time. I think this is priceless.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think this is the most the biggest thing I can advise the people. You know, give and share your time with the people that they need it more.
Yeah. And some way that people can connect with you and follow you?
Yeah, I have my Instagram and my Facebook page, Carlos Schwanke. You can find me easier.
Okay.
And also, I have made my email. You know, if you can put my email in the
show notes, I'll put
this.
It. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So it will be a pleasure for me to connect to the people, to the athletes, to the kids, and all. I'm very open to everything, man.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your time. And before I wrap up, I'd like to say, you taking this time means really a lot to me, and also having the honor of playing with you and getting to know you as a person and a player was definitely a defining moment in my career, one of those moments so far and one of the top ones. So thank you so much for everything you've given to me also in that way, and now everything that you've given to everyone out there. And I would love to have you on board with our Elite Sports Students project that we'll talk a little bit more about. But this adding value to other people's life is really important to me also. So I'd like to end with a quote. And before that, I'll just sum up. One of the biggest takeaways that I'd like people to remember is do some things when you're younger. Experiment, play different sports, do different things. Find out what you like and then pick one thing and try to be great at that. And it doesn't mean that that's the only thing that you have to pick, but focus in on something and try and go that path as far as you can. And never give up. Always look for alternatives and keep going until you make it. So my quote today, it's my quote of the month, actually. This is my birthday month, is never, never, never give up. And this is Winston Churchill. I think people will know him, but I feel that that's something that I can never do, and I think none of us should ever do. So thanks so much, Carlos, for taking your time. I appreciate you, and I'm very grateful.
Yeah, I'm here to thank you, Ryan. It would be my pleasure to be here with you and sharing all my stories. And I said before, anything I can help, and I'm here to help and to give something from the others, you know. My pleasure to be here. Thank you a lot.
Did you like the show? Leave a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher.com so others will find us. And share the love. Think of one person that could benefit and send them the link for this episode. For more resources and tips, go to beyondathletic.com or tweet us at beyondathletic. I appreciate and thank you for listening.
What we do in life echoes in eternity.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
And this concludes our Chicago show. Please stay tuned.